This is the other second auctioneer for the day coming in. Trying to take a picture of him here. This was just a small sample of the second auctioneer of the day, not Ned Morrow. I'll find out his name in a few minutes.
Yeah, they probably were wondering who I was anyway.
No, they weren't wondering, but I just thought, well, I thought it was nice for you to come up, really. People here always, a lot of them get a charge out of Smithsonian. In fact, that's really about the nicest place in D.C. to go, to tell you the truth. You're really lucky to be working there.
I think so.
I don't mean that the way it sounds, but really, the kids, my two kids were always just crazy about Smithsonian.
Really?
They like to get down there just to visit Smithsonian, yeah. They could spend days there. They just spend. When my son-in-law worked there, his parents still live down in Rockville, I think close to Rockville. And my daughter lived in Rockville for a while. She used to help me on these sales. She clerked sales. But now this is a little different than out in the country to a sale. When we got in the country, we're all outside. We put all the furniture outside and just go down the line and sell it.
Oh, do you?
That way, yeah. Just go, oh, a trip. Last Saturday, we had 2,000 people sell last Saturday.
And you get them all to walk down the line?
Yeah, well, yeah, they follow you around, man. They follow you. They run over top of you. Yeah, they follow you. They follow you wherever you go. They watch, see where you're going. Then they try to. Of course, most of them will get to a piece that they're interested in and stand right there. The crowd is so great sometimes that they have to stand right at that particular piece they want to bid on. Otherwise, they can't get into it. When they can't get into it, that's the only disadvantage of having too big a crowd. Hi, Joe. How are you? It's only a disadvantage to have too big a crowd. We had too big a crowd last Saturday. You can get too many. And we just But it's real interesting business.
It really is. Wow.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody out here who said that he'd heard the story that you were one of the few you would learn how to auction with your cows. Yeah. They're going 1-2, 1-2.
Yeah, I told somebody I sold my cows so many times they curtsied when I got through. I was farming down here then. I still farm. I still live on a farm. I keep beef cattle. I don't keep dairy cows anymore. But then I used to drive along. I told what was her name?
Marta.
Marta. I told Marta that I used to sell all my kids used to be my audience in the back seat of the car.
Uh-huh.
We used to go to Florida. My first wife was from Florida,
uh-huh.
And we used to go there every year. And when my kids were little, they were in the back seat, and I'd sell to them all the time. They'd bid, against each other, and I'd just sell to them all the time. Uh-huh. That's how I started. Uh-huh. But it's real. I think anybody can auctioneer. It's just if you practice, it just takes a lot of practice.
Yeah,
that's what it takes. You know. Practice. I told Marta, I said, you could do it if you practice. This takes a lot of practice.
Uh-huh.
And be able to think quick. Be able to think quick is really the secret of it.
It's, uh-huh.
It's just, if there is a secret to it, just when somebody gives you a real quick bid, you don't want to be trailing behind $10 of what he's giving you. You want to be ahead.
Uh-huh.
You got to be ahead. You have to be ahead all the time.
Uh-huh.
Be ahead. But we've always been fair to the people. Is really what, that's what I attribute my success to, is just being fair to the people and nice to the people. These people are nice people, you know. A lot of people think you get riffraff at sales. We don't get riffraff at sales. We get nice people at sales.
Uh-huh.
We get a lot of nice people at sales. Any jug of worms is bound to have a few bad ones in it, you know, but we get nice people. Most of the people, as a rule, 99% of the people are honest and nice.
Uh-huh.
That other 1% sometimes seems greater than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are nice people. We all get nice people. I think they are. They're customers, and you got to treat them like customers. That's just like when you go in a store, you got to treat them just like you.
Uh-huh.
Customers usually right, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, you seem to enjoy auctioneering. That seems to be another secret of it. You get up there and you start laughing.
Well, that's it. It's nice to enjoy you to get paid for what you enjoy to doing. You know,
uh-huh.
What you enjoy doing. It's nice to get paid for that. that's the thing. You get paid for if you can draw money and love your work. Well, that's great. That's what they always thought about the Smithsonian. They really liked it there.
Uh-huh.
They were disappointed they couldn't get in that place.
Uh-huh.
But it's just probably looks like it might be a while before they get another break at that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, he's pretty well settled now in the geology business now.
So do you walk over here just a little bit, because I think the sound of the tape recorder, you can hear it on this. Do you tell a lot of, do you tend to have certain jokes that you always tell during the auction?
Oh, I kid people. Like I kidded that woman there a while ago.
Uh-huh.
She was buying that. We said we're selling a flower. Of course, I knew she was bidding on the jardiniere, but she's bidding on. And then I just, before we handed it to her, I said, well, I'll jar her a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I just jarred her. I just said, well, I've had people tell, man, they...
So in other words, you said, oh, now you bought the flowers, and now we're going to auction off the jar.
Now you say, oh, I think she knew what was going on. But a lot of times they don't. You take people the first time at a sale.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you do that to them, oh, they get it. And a lot of times they'll take it and won't say anything, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'll sell it for a while. Everybody else will be laughing. They won't even know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And finally we just hand it to them and say, here, it's yours anyway.
Uh-huh.
They're too embarrassed, I guess, to say anything. They thought, well, if I was that stupid, I'm not going to say anything, you know. But we never take it away from.
Oh yeah, yeah. But do you do that with a lot of products, or do you always make jokes with flower pots like that?
No, almost anything. It depends on something. If something you can pick up, if there's something you know that goes with something,
uh-huh.
Something like that, why you pick the part up, it's one of the important parts. You know, just
uh-huh.
pick one of the important parts up. You know, it really goes with it,
uh-huh.
and take it and sell it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they carry on then. They carry on. Sometimes. Yeah, they carry on.
Yeah. Well, when you're selling the piano, I thought that you were selling the stool. You know, that's why. You know, I thought, God, that's cheap for a piano.
No. The stools used to bring putting as much as pianos. If the piano, that stool bought 40. I thought it would bring $50. It bought, I think, 45 or 47, something like
and
that.
And the piano was just 50 some dollars?
Yeah, 50 some dollars. Well, it's probably out of tune, and moving a piano like that's a hard job.
Yeah.
It costs pretty much to get that thing moved.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, now player piano, I say a player piano brings $600-$700.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty rare.
Uh-huh.
Player piano. You know what a player piano is?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah, they're real rare.
Yeah, they're pretty rare.
Uh-huh.
But we don't get too many of those. They do have one next week.
Uh-huh.
But that sale next week is, you get a paper, you stop at one of these stores on your way home and get a weekend journal.
Uh-huh.
And you might see somebody down there that might want to come to this sale next Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But it's right this side of Leesburg. It's
uh-huh.
just as you come into West Virginia. Come to Leesburg and cross the river. And as soon as you cross the Shenandoah River, it takes the first road to the left about 3 miles down there, and it's sales a lot closer than, well, it's about 15 miles closer than you are today. You had a problem finding it, did you?
Well, I went to the other place. I guess I went to where there was a sale last week or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing in the paper.
Yeah, there was a little dispute here. The will said that the father, the brother died and left everything in the house to this, his sister, who took care of him. Well, he didn't leave her anything that was out in the barn. So they sold that stuff last week. I didn't have that sale. And she wouldn't let them sell her stuff there, so she had them bring it down here. She called this man, and I didn't get in the middle of that. I could have gotten in the middle of that, but she asked me to, if I would sell it, where I would want to sell it. I said, well, I'd rather sell it away from here. Ordinarily, I'd rather sell it there, but since this dispute, I told this boy to go look about it. I'd get the same fee here I get up there anyway. He pays me the same as I get up there. Doesn't make any difference. And so I told him to go get it. And consequently, I just didn't get mixed up in it at all. And I just try to stay out of those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of that sort of
thing. No, not too much. Now, there's families sitting here bidding now.
Is there? Yeah, the family's bidding. But they don't have any rights more than anybody else.
No.
Somebody wants to bid against them?
That's right. Well, she's put up an auction. No, indeed. Oh, they get hot sometimes about that. But nothing they can do about it. That's an auctioneer's dream, to have about 12 kids in the family and all of them one part of the stub. Yeah, you can really you get the job done.
Yeah.
You can get the job done. If they all want some of the stuff that a large family that can't agree on, you know, and put it up at auction and sell it. I've had a lot of that happen a lot of times. That makes the best kind of a sale. Best kind of a sale.
Did you give a little before the right at the beginning? Did you when you were auctioneering outside, then you went inside? Did you give a little talk before the auction started?
I didn't say too much to them. We get inside. I didn't say too much inside. I usually don't make a big speech before the auction.
Do some people or?
Yeah, some people do, but I
say what and say what.
I don't do that. Well, you're supposed to announce whose stuff it is and why it is being sold and that sort of thing. But as far as the flowery speech, a lot of times I don't know the people. I didn't really know these.
Oh, you mean some people actually say it's like a sermon almost, or you know?
Well, not exactly a sermon, but they spend a whole lot of flowers, I guess. And sometimes you better be careful what you're saying. You might be saying the wrong thing. It might be like my brother went to a man's funeral one time. He told a friend that was with him, he said, look, he said, if I die before you two, be sure to get that minister, because he sure didn't know that fellow's preacher, that fellow's sermon he was preaching. Be sure to get him for my funeral. I'll tell you that right now. You be sure to get him. So they were getting ready to go up and look at the casket, see if they thought they were the same guy, the same fellow or not. But sometimes, but I don't know of any auctioneers. All you do is announce it, where your food is and what, how you doing, Bob? Where your food is and who's serving the food and who's having the sale and the terms of the sale, which is always cash. How they make the checks out, how they're supposed to make checks out, whether they wanted to move the stuff. And usually, that's usually just a necessary thing.
You don't say this is an honor of such and such a person. Or
if what?
You don't say that this is an honor of this person who died and left this.
No, it's usually a lot of times it's a dishonor. Some of them would turn over in the grave if they knew they were selling their stuff at auction.
Oh, really?
Some people will leave. Some people won't permit their stuff to be sold at auction. Some people won't permit their stuff to be sold at auction. This is Mr. Grissom.
Yeah, I was talking to him.
He's all their life and never did think about what would happen.
Little do they know.
Right? Yeah, he's a pilot.
Oh, were you a pilot?
He taught my daughter to fly. She flew solo, didn't she, Bob?
Yeah.
She soloed before she went to Florida. Yeah, he taught my daughter to fly.
How's she doing these days?
Fine, I miss her. She's talking about taking up flying again. I told her to let me know because I didn't want to come down when she did.
She's still in Florida?
Yeah, she's still in Florida. Yeah, she's doing fine. They bought a property down there. Yes, they'll be down there for a while. They like it down there. They like it all. They just live in Florida.
Who's this auctioneer?
Lyle Knoll. He helps me whenever I have to have help, usually. He's an older auctioneer than I am, and I usually get the older auctioneers. There's 17 auctioneers in this county.
Are there?
Yeah. A whole lot of them. There used to only be two. Me and the old lady I talked about and her husband died. Hi.
Is it been over?
No, ma'am. We're only about half through. Go right on in.
Do you have to have a number?
Yes,
I've never
ma'am.
Been
just,
down here.
Yes, ma'am. Just go right there where the other side of that cooler in the little window right there and get yourself a number. You're welcome.
Do people ever bid, if somebody sold for a certain price, do people ever approach the person and say, well, I'll give you more for it? Will you sell it to me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure do. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they'll do that. Yeah. But I've had some of those experiences too. Somebody will say, I wish I would have been such and such a sale, and I would have paid more and more. I said, well, I know who got that. If you're going to pay that, I believe I can get it for you. Well, now I'll change my mind a little bit here. Change your mind a little bit too.
Of course, I've seen a few times Ned's got them wound up, and they said, I wish I hadn't paid that much when they got through.
It's an interesting business. It really is.
It sounds like it is.
I haven't done anything much interesting in my life.
You really learn people in your business.
Oh, yeah. But no, I told him, most of the 99% of the people are 100%, and sometimes 1% seems like they're greater than they are, but most of them are all right. I'd say the majority of them are all right. I've had a sale. I wrote a sale up for a man last week, and I had a sale for him 19 years ago. And he told me, he said, you had a sale for me 19 years ago, and I didn't remember exactly where it was or him. Uh-huh. But when I saw him, I recognized him. Uh-huh. But you do 4 or 5 sales a week for 19 years, and then you're bound to forget people, you know. You can't remember all of them all the time, you know. But I remembered him after I went to talk to him. I remembered him. That's all I remember you now. I remember him anyway, whether I would have or not. It would have been real convenient to remember him at that point, you know.
Have you had a lot of humorous experience happen to you in the course of auctioning?
Yeah. I wish I'd have written a book about it. Beverly, my daughter, often told me she always thought I should have done that. Uh-huh. I really should have, too. If I would have just written down, there would be something unusual that happened here today. Uh-huh. If I would have just written down each sale I had, the unusual item, and kept it, uh-huh. Boy, I could have composed it all into a paper or something, uh-huh. And kept it all. Just something at each sale. There's always something unusual that happened.
Uh-huh. Well, what are some of your favorite stories about it?
Oh, I can't recall just offhand. One of those in there a while ago was that, but then not too humorous, but... if I could sit and think for a while, when I get to talking to somebody about auctions, things just keep coming back to you all the time. You know, if we sit down and talk for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I tell you experiences and things that happen, you know, that have happened uh-huh. times.
Were you very scared when you first started doing it?
I learned a lot when I first started, thank God. If I would have learned a lot when I first started, I don't know whether I'd still be auctioneering a lot, because I'd done a few things when I first started auctioneering that wasn't really good. It's not good for an auctioneer to buy. Uh-huh. No, sir, that's terrible.
Oh, to buy.
No,
yeah.
Sir, that's bad. I don't buy anything at a sale. Uh-huh. Now, and when the first year or two when I started auctioneering, I was farming then, and I was dealing in cattle. I'd deal in cattle, and I'd buy cattle. I'd buy them, but I'd think, well, my money's as good as theirs. But they don't see it that way. Uh-huh. That's not the way they see it. They said, I'm not going to bid against that auctioneer. Buyers don't like that. Uh-huh. And I sell a livestock market.
Do you work livestock?
Yeah, I work a livestock sale every Monday, Charlestown. But they... Now, those are professional buyers. You don't pull anything on them. They're smarter than you are, don't you think? And I always let them know that, too. But, boy, if they make a mistake, I'll let them know that, too. I really let them know when they make a mistake. Uh-huh. And they'll make one every now and then, and I don't let them forget it. Because they don't let me forget anything. I don't let them forget it. If they make a mistake, I really pour it to them. Uh-huh. I just let them have it.
Well, how different is it? How different is livestock auctioneering?
A whole lot different.
This?
You have to start everything. You have to know the value of everything. Uh-huh. In fact, the minute... an animal hits the ring, you should know within $3 or $4 a hundred of what the animal is worth. Everything's sold by the pound. Uh-huh. You should know what that animal is worth just as soon as you look at it. And that quick, you should know within $3 or $4 a hundred what it's worth. Uh-huh. Well, the variation on animals can be $30 to $40 a hundred, but you've got to know within $3 to $4 of what that animal's worth. Uh-huh. In other words, say a veal calf could be worth.
I mean, you got to look
25
at
25 cents, and it could be worth $1.10. That's the variation you can have from 40 cents to $1.10. Well, you got to look at that animal and know within $4 or $5 of what that's a pretty wide variation, about $65. You got to know real quick. And uh-huh. the same way with, of course, cattle's no problem, hogs are no problem, swine's no problem at all. Mm-hmm. No problem with that kind of
stuff. What, trying to judge them? I mean, since you're.
No, because the market, you know what the market is before you start the sale on that stuff. Uh-huh. There's a market that comes from Chicago and Baltimore every Monday. It comes to the livestock market. Mm-hmm. And then we read that market, and the weights of that market, like a 200-pound hog
Well, they'll quote that market, that Baltimore market. Baltimore, that's where all the other local little markets, their market is judged on those two markets, the Baltimore and Chicago market. Well, when we read that market, we know about what our hogs should bring that day. They should bring within a dollar, a hundred of what they're bringing at those two places. Same way with cattle, same way with veal, same way with steers. It's the same way with those. They're quoted. In fact, they're on the radio every day, too. They're on the radio every day. The livestock market's on the radio every day. And you keep up with that. You really have to listen to it all week, too. You listen to it all, because it can change through the week. But it's altogether different than one of these sales. It's a whole lot different. A lot faster, too. It's faster than this.
Is it really?
Yeah, we sell a calf every 10 seconds at a livestock market. Yeah.
Is there less humor or less jokes? I mean,
There's not much joking around. Oh, sometimes the local buyers will joke around, but not too much. The sale man won't permit that. You're fooling somebody's livestock, and it's valuable to them. It might mean all the dollars they have, and you don't want to cut up with something like that. And this is different than something like this. A whole lot different.
But where's your livestock market?
In Charlestown, Blue Ridge Livestock Market, right next to the racetrack.
In Charlestown?
Mm-hmm, Charlestown. I used to work one in Boonesboro, but they sold out. They don't have Boonesboro anymore.
What time are the auctions? I'll go up there and catch you there, too.
Is it Charlestown?
Yeah.
It's on Monday, every Monday. Every Monday. There's two of us that work there. Now, I only work on livestock down there. They have a lot of junk they sell, like chickens and eggs and furniture and that kind of thing. I don't sell any of that. I sell all livestock. I don't sell anything but the livestock.
Where's that market?
Charleston.
What time is the auction?
All time they start about. Well, the livestock part starts at 2:00
in the afternoon.
Yeah, 2:00
on Monday.
Yeah, every Monday 2:00.
Okay.
And the junk starts at about 1:00 or about 11:30. The junk starts, but at 2:00 the livestock starts every afternoon. You see me when you come down there.
Okay.
I'll take you and introduce you to the people inside. But it's a whole lot different, a whole lot more interesting, too, I think. Well, it would probably be more interesting to you, because you probably see this every day.
I don't see it every day. No. And this is interesting to me, too. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty different. Casey's is pretty different from this, in some ways.
Yeah,
I was at Casey's there one night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't there the night you were there.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be there tonight, probably. I'm probably going out there. Yeah, they're a whole lot different than you, too. But I can't recommend either one of the two to anybody, because I work for both of them. It wouldn't be fair for me to say, well, take your stuff so-and-so, because I can't hardly recommend either one of the two.
But they're different.
I can recommend both of them. I better rephrase that.
Yeah.
I can recommend both of them, but I can't pick either one of them.
But the type of people are different in the two of them.
I believe it.
I mean, it's a different audience.
Well, you got a lot of antique deals.
Yeah.
You get one or two out there now and then. One or two antique deals out there now and then, But you'd be surprised. Sometimes they pick a piece up out there. They pick a valuable piece up out there. Somebody don't know what it's worth. But I've never failed to let people think that they know more than I do. You can't do that. You're not the only smart person in the world. There's always somebody smarter than you are. You know, it's like the little boy that's going to whip everybody. There's always going to meet somebody a little bigger than he is that's going to whip him one of these times. But you can't fail. You can't fail to let people. And people aren't. They're not a bunch of dummies in there. Those people. Most of the people know more about that stuff than I do. You're not supposed to. My philosophy in life has always been: you're not supposed to try to be something you're not. That's all it is doing. You know, we're all came in this world saying, "Well, we're going out of here with nothing too."
Was that one of your lines that you can't take it with you? Do you use that in the auction? Is that something that you say in the auction to get people buying?
No, I don't. I just don't. I never like to try to embarrass somebody, and I don't try to embarrass somebody's intelligence. That's all there is to it. You don't. And we have auctioneers that do that. We've got a couple around that are pretty rough, I'll tell you.
Really?
They'll insult them.
Because they're not paying enough?
Two women sitting in there right now that will not go to our particular auctioneer sale. They said that he'll get up and try to sell something. He says, you people aren't up ahead. Where do you think you are? People don't like it. It hurts him. Really hurts him. Doesn't hurt them. Doesn't bother.